Eventually, we will evolve, so we will evolve toward the perfect. So, the perfect does not become the enemy of the good. Now, the greatest example of that happening is given by the Tibetan. And he says, he talked about a time in a galaxy long ago, so to speak, when there were 90 billion entities, monads, that were designated to come to the earth and take bodies. And there were 30,000, one-third of them, refused the call. The 30,000 million watchers refused to heed the call. "We enter not the forms," they said, "until the seventh eon." Twice 30,000, that's 60 billion, hearkened unto the call and took the forms designed. So why did these 30 billion souls refuse to incarnate? Because in our past history, it wasn't a very fun period to go through. They wanted to avoid that and wait until the seventh eon. In the seventh eon, everything would be really perfected to a large degree. Life would be great. We would, they could come down and incarnate and have a much more perfect life than they would have and going through periods like we've seen in our past, where we have all these wars and persecutions, things like this.
Well, the seventh eon, that would be representative of the Sabbath, the day of rest. So they'd come in, you know, and all the hard work had been done.
Yeah, that's what they wanted. They wanted to come down when things were perfect. The rebellious ones laughed within themselves and sought prolate peace until the seventh eon. Okay, they wanted to live in the spiritual realms where there was prolate peace, and then come down after the 60 billion did all the hard work. Okay? But the great lords, the seven great lords, called to the greater Kohens, and with the eternal laws of the third cosmic heaven, entered into debate. The dictum went forth. The laggards in the highest sphere heard it echo through the scheme. Not until the seventh eon, but at the 14th seventh, will the chance again come around. The first shall be last, and time be lost for eons. So, because of this mistake they made, they're thinking, boy, we're just going to wait till things get really good, and the situation is much more perfect, and then we'll jump down and we'll enjoy ourselves. Man, they say, no, because of this mistake you made, he says, you don't want to incarnate until the seventh eon, you won't be able to incarnate until the 14th seventh eon.
So it's that 14 okay. Times seven.
Yeah. So.
Well, could they change their minds and go back to eon? I just tease.
Yeah. So that's probably one of the greatest examples of the perfect being the enemy of the good. One may believe in, and this is a quote, meme I posted yesterday, one may believe in and teach the ideal, but the next step in that direction may be far from the ideal, yet must be taken to achieve the ultimate goal. And the Tibetan talks about this. He says, a big problem we have in our political system is people are unwilling to compromise. He says, there's a certain amount of compromise is necessary in order to move civilization forward. And there's a lot of people who just don't want to compromise or move an inch. And we have to, sometimes we have to make compromises to move forward. And if we can move forward a step, then we're a step closer to real perfection. And that's what everything is about, is achieving the most desirable end. Okay, any more comment on that subject?
Well, perfection is a relative term anyway.
Yeah.
JJ, apply that to the molecule.
I can. So I can't be a part of the molecule because I'm not perfect. That's my block, right?
Yeah.
Yes, but your perfection is in your imperfection.
I know, but that's the block to the molecule. I don't feel perfect. I can't be part of it.
But what about on a group level? I mean, what's the perfection we're awaiting?
Well, the perfection is, as it's defined in the scriptures, is to finish the job that you're given to do. And that's what the word perfection means as it applies to the Christ. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven. In the Greek, it reads, finish the job that you're given to do, even as your Father in heaven does his job. It doesn't mean do the same job as God's doing.
Oh, okay.
It means take that, what you're supposed to be doing, and do it and fulfill it. And as you fulfill it, you may make mistakes along the way.
In each life, we're given a challenge. We have to carry it through to the end.
Yeah. And look at this planet. Is there a perfect crystal anywhere? Is there a perfect person? Is there a perfect tree? There's all kinds of flaws in this planet, yet God created it, but he's not finished yet. When he finishes it, and it will have fulfilled its destiny. And that's what true perfection is. It doesn't mean you look at something and it's just flawless. That's not what it means. Okay, the final thing that's really important in creating the molecule is oneness. And these, if I had to pick two of the most important, is overcoming a grievance. So there's no grievances. That's the most important first step, is overcoming the grievances. The second is attaining oneness, so we can see through the eyes of the soul. And oneness is seeing through the eyes of the soul in the same light. Does it mean that you have to think exactly the same as everybody else? No. Look at everybody in the group. We all dress different, don't we? Tyler's the only one dressed the way he is. Thank God.
My wife would agree with you.
So, there's nothing wrong with being diverse and thinking different thoughts and things like this. We're all in the lower personality. We don't want to be like North Korea, where we all wear the same stuff and have the same haircuts and look the same. But what does oneness really mean? What does it mean to see through the eyes of the soul and be one with that person? And that's another really great Mormon scripture. It says, if you are not one, you're not mine. It's a very interesting scripture. But what does it mean to be truly one through the soul? Yeah.
For me, it's like,
you can sit in that comfy chair.
It's like seeing people the way God sees people, and like God didn't love Paul more than Peter. You know, like he loved them both the same. So that's just the way I look at it. It's kind of just, if we can use the lens of God and see other people the way God sees them, I think is very important.
Yeah. Yeah, if we could see as God sees, that would certainly create oneness.
Yeah. God sees our light and color.
Okay. Okay, what if, where's the greatest division we have in our society today, right now?
Politics?
You mean political?
Yeah, politics.
Yeah.
let's suppose that Trump and Nancy Pelosi got together and saw through the eyes of the soul. What would they be doing?
I don't think we'd believe them.
They'd be seeing past the lower nature of each other, past the ego, past the personality, and looking at the overall goal of the spirit.
Yeah.
The purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they would relate. It's the principle of relatedness.
Yeah.
Like you say, rising above differences on the level plane of the soul. And, you know, wanting the same thing, having the same objectives, kind of thing.